But first to the growing problem of political violence, not in America, which we've spoken about many times before, but here in Australia. This week, the Prime Minister was evacuated from the lodge in Canberra in response to a threat that the building would be blown into ruins unless scheduled performances by the Shen Yun Performing Arts Group were scrapped. That's a group which often depicts the persecution of the religious movement Falun Gong that's been fiercely criticised by the Chinese government. Now, the ASIO head, Mike Burgess, has previously warned that the threat of political violence is flashing red for Australia. And this week, the Royal Commission began its probe into the Bondi terror attack, anti-Semitism, and the deterioration of social cohesion. Let's talk to Justin Bassey, who is the executive director of the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. He's soon to release a report called Social Insecurity, Cohesion, Outrage Economics, and National Resilience in Australia. Formerly, he was the National Security Advisor to Malcolm Turnbull as Prime Minister. Justin, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Great to be with you, Nick.
I read a report this week compiled by the ABC, which I found alarming. 85% of politicians and their staff report dealing with violent, threatening and volatile behaviour. There's been a 63% rise in threats against politicians in Australia over the past 4 years. Tell us what is going on. Why this uptick in political intimidation and violence?
Yeah, clearly it's a problem, obviously specifically for politicians, but also then for the rest of us, because fewer people will actually want to then get into politics. But what we're seeing is more aggression around political views. Violent language has become more normalised. Overall, the temperature of politics has gone up, but both the way it's practiced and also the way it's consumed by the public. Often it starts online because that's an easy breeding ground, given there are opportunities to remain anonymous and people can mobilise and escalate the more aggressive language. And while the majority of people stay online, it only takes a few percent to take it offline for it to then become a real world problem for politicians and their staff. And then, Nick, there are also more avenues to threaten politicians. Some portion of the increase, I presume, of the incidents are online threats and intimidation. So you have social media, email, encrypted messaging apps, other various web forums. And then you have politicians having higher profiles than they did previously. It's not just the Prime Minister and the opposition leader, but we have many backbenchers, crossbenchers and independents, all well known. They have higher profiles as individuals. They're very available. They're more easily found. And of course, it's a catch-22 for the politicians and candidates because brand recognition is now important to be elected. And while the stats are specifically, those stats that you read are specifically about politicians, it's what we've seen across society. We've seen that in the context of rising anti-Semitism since the Hamas attacks in October 23. We've seen aggression since the response to COVID. Mm. And it's why, as you said, the Director General of ASIO, Mike Burgess, has used particular language and changed his own language over the last few years. He refers to issue-motivated grievance, and unfortunately there's a lot of us. And as you said, he's been telling us for some time now that this threat of politically motivated violence is flashing red for Australia.
I've written a lot about political violence in America and this idea that an alarming number of Americans think it's legitimate. You saw that on January the 6th. Some of the insurrectionist rioters, whatever you want to call them, were literally chanting 1776 because they saw themselves as patriots rather than seditionists. I was surprised this week to read a figure from McKinnon Institute research that 9% of Australians are of the view that political violence is sometimes justified or extreme measures are sometimes justified. Should we be worried that this idea that political violence is not just becoming normalised, but kind of rationalised?
Yes, and it's a worrying number. And the McKinnon Institute that you referenced has been doing some great work in this area. I know they're working on a campaign to rebuild trust in our democratic system of government, so that's something to look out for. But online aggression and intimidation is clearly rising, and then it's more easily transferring offline. Volatile language, provocative language has been normalised. There seems to be, as those statistics show, a rise in people who may not necessarily condone violence or carry out the violence themselves, but are seeing it as justified to achieve a cause. That's not just a concern for police and security agencies. That's the broad social problem. And the word justified or the word rationalized that you used is really important here. That the threshold for violence as a justified response to political differences seems to be dropping. And it's probably driven in part by the sense globally that rules and norms are crumbling and violence is the way that problems are to be solved. And to a certain extent, I think Australia's perhaps catching up to a global phenomena. As you say, you've seen and written about it on the US, but it's throughout Europe, the UK, elsewhere. And I think we have to come to grips with the fact that for the first time since the end of the Cold War, we have global insecurity. You know, only up to a few years ago, nation states like Australia were fighting terrorism, but really not much else. Since 2020, we've had the COVID pandemic. We've had war in Europe that's just ticked over to its fifth year. We've had the Middle East conflict. We have increased tensions in the South China Sea over Taiwan, not to mention a complete breakdown online. We've had Russia targeting Ukraine supporters, including in Australia. We've had the Middle East conflict importing violence and intimidation to Australia to the extent that the Iranian ambassador has been expelled. We have endless and constant foreign interference from China. So it shows that no country is immune from international crises. And in his threat assessment a year ago, Mike Burgess told us that these issues, these international issues, were making acts of politically motivated violence more likely. It's grievances, it's conspiracies, and anti-authority beliefs.
Justin, one thing I've noticed is the fraying of Australia since I came back to live here from America. You're going to be releasing a report about social cohesion. I don't want to steal your thunder. I know you want to release it next week, but just, you know, briefly give us a sense of how we can go about bringing this country back together.
Sure, no, and thank you. Yes, it's a report that my co-author John Coyne and I have entitled Social Insecurity. And the thesis is basically that we almost have to relearn or rebuild a capacity to hold multiple and sometimes uncomfortable beliefs simultaneously. We've lost the art of being able to feel safe in disagreement. Too often a different view is immediately called a name. It results in a combination of censorship and aggression. We need to rebuild the resilience to hear and hold a different view. And we also have to recognize that in a democracy, we have both rights and responsibilities. So the freedom to express one's view also entails responsibilities, including self-restraint. We need to have clarity that it is legitimate to peacefully protest for an end to the war in Gaza, for example, or to disagree with policies of any government. But it's not legitimate to advocate violence or promote terrorist organisations, including by carrying terrorist flags or chanting slogans such as death to the IDF. A democratic society must be capable of condemning terrorism, criticising state conduct, encouraging policy debate and protecting minority communities without collapsing into some form of moral absolutism.
Justin Bassey of the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. We will have this conversation later on in the year as well. Please come back on the program. But thanks for joining us today on Saturday Extra.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.